You're listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirande.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 6. Page 5 in our bulletin. Page 5 in our bulletin, opening hymn. We just heard the prelude from God the Father, Virgin Born. Hymn 401, please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. Our focus today will be on the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 8. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this day for the gift of your word. Your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, taking on flesh and blood, living, dying, rising for us. Heavenly Father, this day, teach us by the power of your Word to trust your will for us in our lives, and help us by the power of your Word to cling in any and every situation to that word. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 401.
Thank you. Order of worship, divine service, setting number 3, found on page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Glory, for you, Lord, are most high.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth, peace on earth, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean?'" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Crumble past minds in every land.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation
Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Hymn 587. Please be seated.
Thank you.
mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation, the gospel reading that we heard a moment ago from Matthew 8, especially these two verses. Verse 2, the first healing. And behold, the leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then a portion of verse 8. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was 4 weeks ago today, exactly, that we gathered in this house. Christmas Day, which happened to align on a Sunday. Christmas Day, and we heard the word of God for that particular day, which unfolded one of the great mysteries of the faith, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, and not only God in the flesh, but God in the flesh for you. We heard these words from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can that be? It's a mystery. This Word, this Logos, this second person of the Trinity was with God at the beginning and is God. And this mystery goes on. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This Word, this second person of the Trinity, this divine Logos, is the instrument through which everything, including you, is created. What an amazing mystery. But this mystery goes on. In him, this Logos, this Word, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This Word, this second person of the Trinity, this Logos, is life and light. We live in darkness, and this Word is light. We live in death, always marching toward death, and this Word is life. And if that isn't enough mystery for you, this mystery blows our minds in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word, this Logos, this second person of the Trinity, with God at the beginning, through whom all things were made, the very light and life of mankind, takes on flesh and blood and dwells among us as the very glory of God. Dwells among us in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Dwells among us as a little baby, worshipped by wise men and shepherds. As a 12-year-old boy in the temple, astounding and mystifying the great teachers of the day. As we heard last week, at a wedding, turning water into wine. 2 weeks ago, this Word become flesh, standing in the Jordan River, the sinless one being baptized by a sinful John the Baptizer. That's backwards, right? Yet he does it to fulfill all righteousness. It's like taking a bath in our dirty bath water and making it clean. My friends, This mystery continues to be unpacked and unfolded as we work our way through this wonderful season of Epiphany. Epiphany means revelation. This word, which takes on flesh and blood, is revealed or manifested to us again and again and again. And remember, everything that Jesus does, he does for you. Today, Matthew 8, Jesus comes down from the mountain. But it's not just any mountain. Earlier in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have recorded for us what is most commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaches in this great discourse. He gives us the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are you when people persecute you and revile you for my name's sake. Jesus goes on to teach and explain the law. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. I tell you that if you hold a grudge, that if you hate someone in your heart, you have already murdered them. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you that if you look at another person and have a lustful thought in your heart, you have already broken the sin. Jesus continues to teach about the kingdom of God, to teach who he is and who we are, to teach that we are sinners, unable to achieve righteousness on our own, sinners unable to save ourselves, and that the kingdom of God is a gift, full and free. Jesus is the Word of God in flesh. He comes down from the mountain, and now this Word goes to work. And it's amazing how he works, isn't it? In our text for today, we have two wonderful miracles. So different, and yet so similar. Jesus comes down from the mountain. And the first miracle, Jesus heals a leper. In our Old Testament reading, we heard about Naaman, and they almost had to take Naaman kicking and screaming to hear the word of God. Not so here. This leper knows who he is. He's humble. He's a sinner. He's unclean. Leprosy, an incurable disease, cuts you off from your family, from your church, from your life. Separated from everything. Being reminded of how unclean you are in relationship to a perfect and holy God, there is no hope. This leper knows that. And this leper knows that in the midst of his hopeless situation, there is only one place for him to turn. To the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. He comes and he prostrates himself. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet. He worships him, God in the flesh. And then he says something very curious. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Think about how much of our lives we spend trying to figure out the will of God. Something happens in our life, good or bad, and we try to determine if God willed it, if God made it happen, or if somebody else or something else, or especially me, made it happen. When something bad happens, we want to blame the will of God. Something bad happens in our lives, and we want to think, did God do this to me? Did God allow it to happen? Is God completely clueless? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he doesn't even know this bad thing happened to me. And once again, we try to discern the will of God. I get a big kick out of the preschoolers when they're learning the Lord's Prayer. You know the part that I mean. They're not used to saying thee and thy and thou and all of the fancy church lingo. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, my will be done. Oh, we pray the way Jesus taught us, thy will be done. But in our hearts, more often than not, we don't want God's will to be done. We want our own will to be done. We worship at the altar of me, myself, and I. I want what I want, and I want it on my timetable. We want God's will to mysteriously and magically change so that God's will is automatically my will. But Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer for a very different reason, doesn't he? The will of God is eternal. The will of God is true, right, holy, noble, and just. The will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray the Lord's Prayer so that our will, our wants, our desires would be holy and in line with God's word and God's will. So what do you think God's will is? Do you think God's will is to toy with you and to allow you to have all kinds of misery in your life so God can get a chuckle? What do you think God's will is? Do you think God is impotent to do anything about the power or the problems that are going on in your lives and that he's powerless to help? What do you think about the will of God? Because what you think about the will of God determines how you live and what you believe. God's word teaches us that the will of God is that you believe in his word and promises. God teaches us that it is his will that you believe. He is your heavenly Father, and you are his dear child. God's word teaches us that the will of God is that he wills and wants only good things for his children. And most importantly, God's word teaches us that it is the will of God to send his Son into this world to suffer and die for your sin, to bleed and die and become your substitute, even though he is perfect, holy, and sinless. It is the will of God to punish his Son instead of punishing you. And it is the will of God that Jesus, the Word, God in the flesh, conquer sin, death, and the devil for you. It is the will of God that this salvation is full and free and given to you in the waters of holy baptism, in the very Word of God, which is life, in with and under bread and wine, forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is the will of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God's will is only good for you, that he is your heavenly Father, and that forgiveness is yours, full and free? The leper came down before the feet of Jesus, and he freely admitted, "If you will, you can heal me." In other words, he was saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." What great faith. What great faith to actually mean that prayer when you pray it. And Jesus says, "I will." And he's healed. He's restored. He's restored to his family. He's restored to his church. He's restored to God. The second miracle that we have before us teaches us something else about this Word of God made flesh, this Word at work. Here we have a centurion, and this centurion is lauded, commended by Jesus for his great faith. And we read this account, we hear this account, and we go, "What's the big deal? This doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Why is this centurion commanded and commended so?" Well, first of all, the centurion goes to Jesus not about his own problems. How many times do we go to God for somebody else's problems? Most of the time, we're too busy because we are completely obsessed with our own lives and our own problems. We don't have time or energy or care about anybody else. This centurion goes to Jesus because his servant is in trouble. He's sick. He's dying. The centurion lays the problem before Jesus. And Jesus volunteers. Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." He offers to go to the centurion's house and heal him. No prompting, no coercion. But what does the centurion say? "Yeah, come on, Jesus, let's have a big party." The centurion says no. Why? Because the centurion knows who he is. "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have you come under my house. I'm a sinner. Yeah, I'm a mighty, mighty warrior. But I'm not worthy to have you, Jesus. God in the flesh, the Holy Word of God, come under my roof. I'm not worthy." And then he says, "Just say the word. Just say the word." I've never been in the military. I know a lot of people who have been or currently are. And I know that when someone of a higher rank says a word to someone of a lower rank, the word is followed. The word is obeyed. The word spoken is the word done. When somebody in authority gives a word or a command, people jump. You say, "Jump." The person under you says, "How high, sir?" That's how authority works. The centurion knows all about authority. And he teaches us not how the military works. He teaches us that there is no higher authority in heaven and on earth than the Word of Jesus. I can't take it any higher up the chain of command. Jesus, you are the top. You say the word. And by the power of the word and by your great authority, you say the word and it is done. Jesus says, "Never, never have I seen such great faith." You know what's so great about his faith? He believes the word of God. He believes the word of God. My friends, what about you? Do you believe that God wants, wills, desires only good for you? And that when bad comes into your lives, it is God's will to use that suffering, that pain, that heartache, that loss to bring you closer to Him? Is that what you believe about the will of God? What do you believe about the Word of God? An interesting book like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn? Or do you believe it is the very power of God unto salvation for you? That it is the ultimate authority for you? My friends, when we simply believe the will of God and we believe the word of God, the commendations that Jesus gives to the healed leper and the centurion are the exact same commendations He gives for you. Oh, how great is your faith. I've never seen such faith in all Israel. A faith that simply believes the Word of God. We live in a dark world, a world that is darkened by sin. Sin is all around us. The sin that lives in our hearts, the sin that is the sinful world that we live in. We know that Satan is real and he desires to get you to doubt the will of God and ignore the word of God. Darkness is all around. And sometimes this darkness is so thick, and what is around us is so dark, we want to lose hope. My friends, the good news for today is that faith, the faith that God gives you, faith sees in the dark. Do you hear that? No matter how dark your world is, no matter how dark your situation is, no matter how dark circumstances are for you, for those you love, for this world, no matter how dark it is, faith sees in the dark, because faith clings not to a feeling, not to an emotion. Faith clings to the Word of God. Faith clings to Jesus, who is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. My friends, today the mystery is unfolded even more for you. God in the flesh, absolutely. For you. God in the flesh, living and dying the death you deserve? Absolutely. God in the flesh, rising from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the devil for you. My friends, cling to this will and word of God for you. And hear those words of Jesus. How great is their faith. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our will, our hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, if God is going to open our eyes so that we can trust His will and cling to His word, He best give us a new heart. And that's exactly what He does. We sing our offertory, page 192. Please stand as you're able. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship today. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of the Word made flesh, revealed for you, would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
prayers of the church. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that, with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority over us, especially to President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and a firm faith, and to their abundant blessings. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God,
Oh, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ. We pray you, Lord, bless you, keep you in your baptismal covenant in all ways.
Thank you.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Thank you.
good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 632. 632.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. Everything you need to know for the days and weeks ahead is listed there. Last week we had a mess with the ice and such. A lot of things were changed and moved around. A couple of those things, LWML was supposed to be last Monday. It will be now tomorrow night, this Monday. The big soup cook-off dinner that we were supposed to have last Sunday afternoon has been moved to next Sunday afternoon.